Let's begin now.
What a familiar sound that should be. Oh, that takes me back. Throwback on a Friday. Let's have a good day. Let's begin now. Let's sound like After Hours when we used to hold it down back in the day. Dusty Likens with you. Mac Morey as well. It's the two of us until 10 o'clock today. Out for the Friday. So should be a fun one. Ready for a good Friday. Going to be 74 degrees.
Hello, America.
Very excited about that.
Oh,
I sat in the sun yesterday on the patio for hours. It was so nice.
Can I ask what you had to sip on while you're on the patio?
Baby, some new Surfside flavors. So good, dude. Mango half and half, a little raspberry half and half.
Oh god.
Yeah, it was great. I'm trying to see the other one. Oh, yeah, like a blackberry mango? Half and half. Yeah, mango half and half, raspberry half and half. That's so good, dude.
Oh gosh,
you better believe it. That's great.
Damn right.
And then do you have any left? Okay.
Yep. Today was payday, so I'll restock. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. Yep. We say that on the golf course when you slice it to the right. Reload. You're already going to shoot 97, Kyle. You might as well just put another ball down and tee off, and we'll just give it to you as your drop.
No, it's funny. I texted Hannah, and she was like, well, I'm on the way home. I was like, well, I've already started, so you got to hurry up. You're like, I'll save them. You know,
you got some catching up to do,
exactly,
honey.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I am revved up, thirsty, and ready to drown. I think that's a Zach Bryan line there for you, right? Should be a good one. Fear of Fridays, I think, is the name of that song. I'm revved up, thirsty, and ready to drown.
It's your guy.
Big time. Might be, not might be, probably is, could be, kind of a scumbag. But you know what?
Yeah, I would say, I would say yes on that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's many, 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 many such cases.
Yeah. Yeah.
Separate the art from the artist.
And there will continue to be many, many such cases. Or you could watch Cardi B do a guitar solo on stage, which is quite entertaining, I should say. Men's wieners. As we are here, it is Mac Morey, myself, Dusty Likens with you on a Friday.
Friday.
Somebody says from the 660, uh-oh, dad's out. The boys are going to get wild. I mean, you have no idea. There are no limitations on this show. From the 816, praise be to you, sir. 816 says, thanks for the memories you guys gave me and my grandpa over the years. Mm. He passed away yesterday. Now he's up in the sky chilling with Lenny Dawson and Derek Thomas.
Awesome.
There you go, brother.
Sorry to hear. He lived a wonderful life. Thanks for listening, man.
The advice I always give to people who lose loved ones or friends or whoever they may be, don't worry about the dates on the end. Worry about the dash in the middle, because that's what their life represented, was that little dash.
100%.
100%. Yeah, for sure. So Friday, great weather. should be a good weekend until Sunday. But again, today, good day, fun day. Mac Morey, Dusty Likens with you here on Fesco and Dusty. Even though you might thought it sounded like After Hours, we're going to try to bring that vibe here with you this morning. And I wouldn't be able to start a show off, right, if I didn't talk about the guy that I consistently am always glazing. I know that I'm hard. Field him of plums, baby. I don't know if you guys saw it yesterday, but Jack Caglione. He didn't hit a home run. The other day, he hit a home run, and it went 460 feet, and I believe it was 115 point something off the bat. Yesterday, Jack Caglione had a two-run double, and that ball came off the bat at 120.2 miles per hour. Last season, there were only two balls hit harder in the MLB all season. So you might think to yourself, Dusty, come on. Like, there's this
training.
Guy. There's a guy that trolls me all the time on Twitter, and it's fine. I embrace that because it'll make it that much sweeter when I'm right about Cags. And I'll just sit back and relax, and there'll be some times where I'm, you know, unhinged and be like, told you. But what 120 off the bat means for me, at least this early, yes, it's spring training. Yes, there's so much more to be done. But 120.2 off the bat lets me know that the eyes and the time are starting to connect with each other. And I'd rather see that earlier than later. Now, you got to do that in the regular season. We're going to see Jack Caglione play for Team Italy with Vinny Pasquantino. But the one thing that I do kind of like about that is if there was anybody I would trust Jack Caglione to be with while he's away from his team, it would be Vinny Pasquantino. And the other thing about yesterday is not all about Jack Caglione, right? There's another kid in this system that is local who's also starting to come around early in the spring. Now, there wasn't a, oh, gosh, on that one. But it took a while for the fans to kind of wait for the home run. But Carter Jensen goes bridge yesterday as well.
Yes.
In spring. So the boys are starting to kind of get into that feel, right? It's like when you don't work out for a while and you go take your jog or your walk, and about halfway through, you're like, whew, been a while since we've done this. And then after you do it repetitively for a week or two, by the time you start doing it more often, you start getting to a different point to where you're like, oh, you know, last week I was getting kind of gassed at this point. Now I'm like beyond that, and you're starting to kind of get the reps feeling getting and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that's hopefully what we're seeing in spring. The ball travels farther, I know. The weather's perfect. You're going against guys that may never pitch in the major leagues ever. But if you're hitting the ball 120 miles per hour, you're starting to put the ball over the fence, you're starting to get back into your groove, and that's good to see because the World Baseball Classic will start a week from yesterday, and then those guys will go do their thing, but Carter Jensen will stay here. But like Bobby, Lugo, Estevez, Garcia, Perez, Vinny, Jack, all those guys are gone. They're going to go play for their teams for a week or two, and then they'll come back, and then the season will start a few weeks after that. But it is good to see this. It's better than being – because, see, this is where I always look at the alternative when you see this early glazing happen. Like, Cags hits a home run. Cags hits 120. You could be like, yeah, dude, it's spring. But you could also be like on the other foot and be like, well, what if he wasn't doing this? Like, what if he was striking out? What if he was popping out? What if he was swinging at bad pitches? You'd have that same energy? Probably. But he's not doing that. He's doing something that gives you reason to believe that maybe last year was the learning curve and now all of that is behind him. He's handled failure. He's handled the shock value of being great his whole life and then all of a sudden showing up to a league where it's like, yeah, everybody's good here. Right, college radio classes. We're like, dude, I'm better than half these kids. They're going to grow up and probably be like a news director or something like that. And then, you know, you get your job in Tennessee and it's like, hey, buddy, by the way, you're hired. But just so you know, how you were probably your number one in your Tennessee class, all these guys that are here now, they were the number ones in their class too.
Yeah.
Here's the competition. And then you get there and you realize, oh, wow, this guy is really, you know, excelled in this business. Like, he's done very, very well. How do I get to that level? Well, it takes repetition. It takes time. It takes failure. It takes, you know, staring adversity in the face and then how you regroup from that. So to me, my take, I don't know what yours is, but if I see that he's hitting the ball 120 miles per hour off the bat, hitting home runs 460 and 115 off the bat, that leads me to believe that Jack's eyes and his mind and his rhythm are there right now. Now it's more about consistency and living up to the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to take everything with stride, right? So if he was playing poorly, I'd say just keep going. If he was playing great like he is right now, I'd say, all right, keep going, right? Like, keep getting better, keep improving, and we'll see it once the major league starts, once he actually takes some pro at-bats. I'll continue and add on to the exit velo, because you were mentioning only two balls hit harder all of last MLB season.
O'Neill Cruz and somebody else.
Yeah, let's just take away ground balls.
Yeah.
Non-ground balls. That was the hardest ball hit all of last MLB season by 6 miles an hour. Now, if you're talking, what's a ground ball? This guy did it by, he defined a ground ball as any batted ball with a 10-inch launch angle or less. But 120 miles an hour, that is over 6 miles an hour more than second place on non-ground balls. So like, if you add that gap to like significant, like that's crazy.
Are you more excited for Cags this year or Carter?
Excited for Cags. Now, I think the better floor is Jensen. I think there's a better chance that this year Jensen's just a more reliable piece because of that defense. I think, again, like, I think he's going to be behind the plate more than Salvi this year. I think he's going to be the starting catcher as far as like appearances. I really do. So I think in that case, but as far as like ceiling pop, no, Cags has it. He's going to bring the eyes.
I think I'm more excited to see how Carter Jensen does, because I think we know what the ceiling can be for Jack Caglione. I think his ceiling could be like an Adam Dunn type year, which is 250, 255, but 40 home runs if he can get into that groove. It's a big if, and can be that player. Whereas I think Carter Jensen is going to be more of a all-round hitter, right? Could hit you 25 homers, but could also hit 280.
Yeah.
So like, I think that's there. Plus, like, the big part about that I'm excited for Carter Jensen is we have not seen, at least in our lifetime, anyone really take the realm of home plate other than Salvador Perez. Freddie Fermin was there, yep. But he was still the guy, which he was having a lot more starts than Sal.
He was. I think he had one more start in his time last year until he got traded.
And he was
one or two.
And he was a veteran guy.
Yeah.
And so you look back,
really good player.
You look back at that, and maybe that was more so of like, we don't plan on keeping this guy around, so we're going to showcase him and try to get something for him.
Yeah.
And they did,
and
when
worked.
They traded with the Padres. And it worked for Freddie, and it worked for the Royals, right?
Yeah, honestly, that was a win-win.
And now we're going to have to see a time where it's like, hey, Sal, like, you aren't going to be here forever, let alone in 3 years probably, because he signed the two-year extension for this year and next year. It's like, but you can keep one of the more dominant attributes that you have that you bring to this team, which is the lumber that you bring to the yard and the expertise and the leadership that you have. So whereas we see maybe Carter Jensen transition to that catcher and kind of like the new voice of the team, right, being behind home plate, being the battery mate for the pitchers, then you see Sal kind of transition that role of like, I'm a DH. I can, you know, plug in and play catcher, first base, but also I'm going to start learning how to do this manager thing. Because I think we talked to Q about it. We're like, do you think Sal could be a manager? Like, oh, yeah, I'm worried he's going to take my job when he retires. Salvador Perez can start to build that resume as well, where you go from, like, you know, everyday catcher, all this stuff, Iron Man type of, you know, narrative to, oh, this is now Sal, the DH guy that can get us 20 to 25 home runs a year, plug him in like the sixth or seventh spot in your lineup, plus his voice and his mannerisms are all there throughout the team. And I think that helps Carter even more than letting him just catch every day.
100%. Having that mentor, and you're putting guys in situations to succeed. Jensen defensively is ready. Salvador Perez is probably ready to transition into that role as well. That Swiss Army knife. Hey, we need help at first base today. Hey, actually, you're going to play catcher today. Hey, just DH. Like, that would be so I mean, what, 34? Salvador Perez?
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting up there now, mid-30s. So, yeah, that just makes sense. Jack Caglione, if guys are doing what they need to do for the lineup and Caglione can just be that guy with less pressure like we've talked about this season and just use his power that he's showcased early on, yeah, dude, this could be huge. It could be awesome.
Oh, gosh.
Hello, America.
You better believe it. Coming up next, I ask you a confidence in question when it comes to two different players, one collegiate, one going to be a pro. Plus, we get to report cards of head coaches of the NFL here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Bob Fesco.
Out of anybody should talk, he should never grab a microphone.
And Dusty Likens.
His ass is foul of all foul.
Weekdays, 6 to 10. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending hear your blues. 96.5, The Fan.
Holla Buck. Holla Buck. Shot, shot, shots. Holla Buck. Shots, Buck. Almost cussed there. I just sometimes can't control my lips.
Holla Buck, yo. Stop every puck, yo.
Okay. There it is. Mac Morey, everybody. Freestyle king back in the day.
Oh, you know it.
Would you guys like take on like Vanderbilt people?
God, no.
Be like, it's going down. It's macaroon.
You did that with your friends, though. Got a freestyle beat.
Dude, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Sounded terrible. Of course.
And I always pick my game up when I knew there were some guys in there that could do it.
Could actually
do. And then I would wait for the, man, you kind of got some flow. I'm like, you hear this guy? Come on, man. The guy that's got Blink 182 and some 41 pictures shrined over his wall comes out with a couple bars. Boy, was that the life when you had nothing in the world to worry about. So there are, I guess I would say, like, a confidence question when it comes to where you're at with two different people. Because I think the story of the metro area in sports, whether you like it or not, the last month and a half. So we'll say what? Post Super Bowl, which would just be like this month. But I would say, like, let's say since the end of January to now.
Yeah.
I think the two biggest local stories, sports wise, are Darren Peterson's saga.
Easy.
And who the Chiefs are drafting.
Yep.
Right.
Chiefs draft and DNP. Easy.
I think that's the two biggest things that when you look at, like, what's been going on, because I don't know if this happens to you, but, like, when you hang out with, like, your buddies and they have friends that might be fans of the station, they might intrigue or engage in questions. And 100%. I always get some people like on the golf course that are playing, but he's like, oh yeah, dude, I listen to you guys every morning. I'm like, I appreciate that. He goes, what do you do in the slow sport season? And I was like, well, define slow sports season. He's like, well, football's gone. And I was like, that's fair. Football sells. Football's what gets people running to the TV. We see all the ratings. But, and we'll talk about college basketball ratings in a little bit later on. But so far this year, I think, since the calendar flipped, our two biggest stories are the 9th overall pick for the draft for the Kansas City Chiefs, obvious because the Chiefs are here, right? And then the other one would be Darren Peterson. I mean, Nick Wright's doing a podcast on it. Obviously, he's a local guy that's now on Fox Sports. You have Bill Simmons, who never talks college basketball, but now he's in a pickle between, is it DeBanza, is it Peterson as the number one overall pick? Colin Cowherd talking about Darren Peterson. Mm-hmm. Like, when have you ever heard Colin Cowherd talk about a KU athlete?
Yeah.
Let alone a collegiate athlete that's not playing college football.
In February, yeah.
College basketball. Like, he is on record, on the herd, talking to his co-host, whatever that, McNamara, J-Mac?
J-Mac.
Yeah, J-Mac with an is. And he's like, yeah, you know why we don't talk college basketball? And he's like, yeah, because it's not fun to talk. He's like, it's not popular on the national stage. And he's like, exactly. But this has now become a national story, so you have to nationally talk about it, was what his perspective was on it. So the confidence question I asked, 913-586-7965, as of today, February 27th, the second to last day of the month, are you more confident that the Chiefs are going to take Jeremiah Love as a running back? Because we had Matt McMullen on, we had Nate Taylor on, and we'll have Mitch Holtis on today. And I, again, will ask Mitch what his opinion has been since he's been down in Indianapolis of Jeremiah Love. Because we all know that how the season ended last year and what one of the biggest holes was on this team, which there are multiple holes on this team right now, but one of the biggest ones that we had talked about the day after they lost in the Super Bowl was, by gosh, they better get a running back to help this offense. So are you more confident that the Chiefs will take Jeremiah Love at running back or that Darren Peterson will go number one overall in the draft as of today? Because I'm more confident in Darren Peterson.
Okay, yeah, I am too.
Because I think...
I thought you were going to go the other way. Gotcha.
I could, because I think Jordan Love... Jeremiah Love, I'm on record yesterday saying, yeah, I know nothing of what the Chiefs are going to do. I don't know their game plan, but now all this talk, I'm pretty sure they're going to take Jeremiah Love.
Yeah.
But my confidence in Darren Peterson being higher is because there's only one other player that I have to worry about him going behind or before, and that's A.J. DeBanza.
That's my logic as well, yeah.
But Matt Miller's audio might persuade where you lead today in your confidence.
Who should take Jeremiah Love?
I mean, I think the conversation starts with the Cardinals at 3. I mean, obviously the Raiders should take Fernando Mendoza. He's a winner. He's poised. He's accurate. He's everything you want in a quarterback prospect outside of maybe some better mobility. I think the Jets, with the trade this morning, trading Jeremiah Johnson, they're going to go edge rusher at 2. So the conversation for Love probably starts at 3. That's where the Cardinals are. The Titans are at 4. They just added an edge rusher in Jermaine Johnson, which was one of their biggest needs. The Giants at 5, probably not, because we all love Cam Scadabo. But then I think the floor is Kansas City at 9. Yeah. So 3 to 9 is probably where he's at. And being here for 2 days now, I can tell you one thing I hear from everyone else in the NFL is, please do not let Jeremiah Love fall to Kansas City. Don't let that happen. Do not give Patrick Mahomes Jeremiah Love, which in fairness, we heard the same thing about Xavier Worthy, and it really hasn't made that much of a difference. So I think Kansas City has bigger issues than just, you know, giving Patrick Mahomes a generational running back talent.
We've gone from in two weeks, late teens, early 20s. Do you take a first round running back to he's better than Saquon? He's Bijan Robinson. He could go 3rd overall.
Generational style of players, what they're saying.
Yep.
And we talked to Nate Taylor about it. And he's like, guys,
he's really good.
He's like, man, he's getting a lot of stuff, and not one person's got a red flag.
Nope.
Like, not one person's like, man, he's a great athlete, but the guy's a tool off
the field. No off the field.
Nobody's been like, yeah, his blocking or his patch catching ability is this. And so, like, it's
he's
kinda
a better pass catcher than Saquon or than Bijan Robinson.
It's kind of like, you know, hey, I really need to get a new washer. I need to get my dishwasher fixed. But hey, let's go ahead and buy a $175 pair of golf shoes, right? Not that I'm saying that that's me personally, but I'm saying, like, the thing that you have to look at is how bad do you want to change the theme of your team as a non-running team, right? Like, you even brought up light boxes, heavy boxes when it came to Jeremiah Love and where that plays to the Chiefs. You think the Chiefs are going to have heavy boxes starting off next year if Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback? No.
Nope.
They're going to say, do it until you prove us.
Yeah.
And if they do, like, is the safe bet Jeremiah Love at 9? Or is the right move Jeremiah Love at 9? Because you would say, and I would say, defensive line is where you've got to get better, because we've seen the renaissance of running backs kind of becoming more effective in football, but we've also seen for the last 3 to 4 years the renaissance of, like, having a dominant defensive line doesn't matter who you have at tackles or guards or quarterback. If we can create pressure, I mean, Denver made Josh Allen look stupid. No, it's the playoffs, and Josh Allen's record would show that.
And Josh Allen was being stupid, but Denver was great.
But I don't know how much of that was the pressure of the D-line. Like, knowing that you have that ticking clock, it's like you can sit at your house and play Jeopardy and be great, but the minute you have that button in your hand and you're on the show, it's like, it's like Vern on Deck Show, right? Vern will give tickets out, and all you got to do is name a pitcher that didn't give up a run in the night before, and you'd watch the game. But you're on the radio, and you got Vern's voice in your ear, and you're like,
I don't need to go, man.
Zach Greinke. Yeah, right? And you're like, no, he doesn't play here anymore. But, like, that's the thing, I think, when you look at this whole idea with Jordan Love, is, like, do you just take the high road and say, we need a dynamic running back? Everybody else would do it, but are you everybody else? Because like we talked about, if they were to take Jeremiah Love at 9, we would all be like, man, I really, really, really wanted that defensive end. Now, we got Binkley yesterday telling us all about how, you know, Bane's arms are small. We saw all the memes all over the internet. He's doing the T-Rex meme or whatever Binkley was doing. And then, you know, we saw a lot of people give their opinions on that. And so maybe that took people away, because here's the difference. We're not hearing that, like, Jeremiah Love has small feet. We're not hearing any of that when it comes to Jeremiah Love. Now, again, he hasn't ran the 40 yet, hasn't done the whatever else he's got to do, the cones, the vertical,
bench he'll do all of it,
But he'll do it all. But the other thing about it, too, is that, like, the first thing we heard about Reuben Bain was arm length. Like, what's a red flag for running backs? Can't block, not good in the open field, can't read holes to, like, hit.
Yeah, vision. Like,
and those are big problems that we have seen with our running backs in Kansas City. Pacheco, not the greatest blocker, not really good outside the tackles when it has to be a catch play. We don't see those anymore. Why not? I don't know.
Needs LASIK.
Kareem Hunt is handcuffed to a role that is less than 2 yards.
He's a fullback. Yeah.
Yet here you have a guy in the draft that could change all of that. Plus, your quarterback's coming off a pretty bad knee injury.
Yeah, like, I can get myself super excited about Jeremiah Love really easily. And the more I hear these guys at the combine and everyone's talking about it, like, this is what happens, right? It's draft season. Everyone's around each other. Everyone's getting each other hyped up. Mm-hmm. And Jeremiah Love is the recipient right now. Reuben Bain's the victim currently, right? And that the Chiefs could be the beneficiary of that, though, as well. Like, Reuben Bain could be dropping because of this. He's the third shortest arms to ever measure as a defensive end in combine history. Does that mean something? I don't know. If you ask Binkley, if you ask others, maybe not as much, right? So, yeah, Jeremiah Love, dude, like, I think the more I think about this draft, the more it is about free agency and the way Brett Veach wants to navigate that. However it's easiest to navigate free agency, then that's what you need to do with the draft. If it's easiest to go get a running back, then you need to go find a defensive end or trade down and get a defensive lineman. That's right. Honestly what I would do. Now, if it's easier to go get that defensive end right now and you're going to go get guy from Miami, you're going to go get Joey Bosa, you're going to go get someone like that, okay, great. Then Jeremiah Love might be the guy. Caleb Downs might be the guy. But, like, you've got to decide right now in the next month, right here at the combine, when you're talking to all these GMs, Brett Veach, what's my route until April? Because if it's running back, what's the easiest way? What's the least money? What's the least allocations of resources to get to where I need to go? That's what he needs to decide, because that's going to completely, to me, dictate where the Chiefs go at 9, because this roster is barren. That's why we can convince ourselves of anything. All right, defensive end, yeah, didn't have any edge rush. Yeah, safety, yeah, that's a pretty bad position. Oh, yeah, running back, yeah, had a bottom five running game in the NFL, right? So you can pretty easily start to convince yourself. It's just about what they do in the next month and a half. And that's what matters.
And a lot of this conversation ramped up because the franchise tag going to Breece Hall, you would assume that he's off, right?
Yeah, that's gone.
Javonte Williams, he's gone.
Yep.
Now, there still are names like Travis Etienne is out there. Yep. Allgeier is still out there.
Yep.
But you look at the draft. So in the next the top eight picks because we all believe that Mendoza is going to go to the Raiders. They're going to do that whole thing. It's you know, par for the course in the NFL. The Jets, they're tagging Breece Hall. So now seven picks. The Arizona Cardinals, they could use a running back. They just saw James Conner this year get absolutely, you know, disheveled on injuries. The Titans, they could use a running back.
100%.
Right? I mean, they have Tony Pollard.
Technically, I think they do, yes, for one more season.
Okay. But maybe they want...
Yeah, I think that would make total sense.
Especially in the day's game where we're seeing, like we talked about earlier, the renaissance of the defensive linemen. We're also seeing the renaissance of the two-man backfield.
Yeah, and they have a defensive head coach who just got a free agent in Jermaine Johnson, and they have Cam Ward, and they need to help him out, just like we need to help out Mahomes. Like, that could make sense.
But after that, I don't see a reason why he would not... If he doesn't go to Arizona or Tennessee, he will go to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Who's after?
The Giants? No. Cam Scadaboo. Cleveland Browns? No. They've got Judkins.
Mm-hmm.
Washington Commanders? No. They just went and got their running back last year. And they have like that two other guys in their backfield as well.
Yeah.
What's that guy's name? Bill?
Yeah, Bill Kroski Merritt.
They've got
Rodriguez was awesome this year.
And they have Robinson Jr.
No, he's on the Niners.
Oh, yeah, went to the Niners.
Eckler is still there. He's old. I don't know how much juice he has left.
So that could make sense.
Yeah, you could convince yourself, but I agree. They're probably going to keep that.
But I could see O-line getting picked by the Washington, with their quarterback always seemingly being injured.
They should go that route.
Right? The Saints aren't drafting a running back.
No.
They've got Devin Neal from Kansas, and then they have Alvin Kamara who was going to be a trade piece last year. And then he's like, no, I'm going to stay in New Orleans. I love it here. Well, after the Saints, it's the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And so if all those teams passes on Jeremiah Love, it leads you to the thing is, was all this draft talk smoke or is it just meant to be? Because if you love something, set it free. If it comes back, it's meant to be. And if you're like, we're not taking Jeremiah Love at 9, unless it just so happens that these teams above him passed and now we have best player available, fixes our need. We're going to pick again at 40 or... Who knows? Because free agency will open up and it could change this entire draft look at. But as of right now, that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, I think it's Love or Downs. And I think, I'm now more and more leaning that Jeremiah Love is the direction. Me and Speck were having a conversation last week about running back. And he was talking about running backs taken in the first round and how they really haven't. They've been failures. They've been great players, but they haven't changed their teams. And I get where he's going, right? Like, the Falcons haven't won playoff games. Like, the Lions didn't become a Super Bowl contender because of Gibbs. Like, he maybe took them over the top, but they were a great team. They had everything in place. That's where I would put the Chiefs. Do they have everything in place? No, but they've got the superpower. They've got Patrick Mahomes. They have the head coach. They're going to fill out everything else. I believe they have the offensive line. So, Jeremiah Love could be that Gibbs put him over the top, the cherry on top. Like, he could be that sort of supplemental piece where it's like, we're not the Saints or the Cardinals who are screwed. There's no inkling of a thought of playoffs, let alone a Super Bowl run.
Mm.
So that's why, like, when I see no running back in first round, all caps from the 913, why, yes, I get you. And 2 months ago, Mac Morey would be going, yep, totally get what you're saying. Absolutely. It's idiotic all the time. You've got to think about context and where this team's at. It can start to make sense. You can make it make sense pretty easily. You can.
Right. Somebody says the Chiefs should trade up with Arizona and go get Caleb Downs. Well, you got to make sure that you can do that.
Yeah.
Because like, I think he might be the second player taken in the draft.
Yeah, I think they're going to go edge rusher more. I think about that
trade. Because of that trade.
To go that trade. But you might be right. Yeah. God, that'd be crazy. Safety second round. But that's what this draft is. It's Sonny Styles at linebacker, who's like, looks amazing, not premier position. Caleb Downs, Jeremiah Love, these guys at not premier positions who are really good football players.
Yeah. Love is going to the Giants. No need for Love to be an issue. Chiefs would be stupid to take a running back first.
Dude, Love and Scadaboo would be crazy.
Be sick.
It'd be sick. But that would, don't do that.
Yeah. So we should see what happens there. By the way, coaching grade cards were out. I didn't know they still did this.
They leaked.
Okay.
They voted not to do this anymore. They'll still like do it in house, but yep.
So somebody leaks the report card and sent it to Diana Rossini, our lady that called me Big Dust.
Big Dust.
That's right. And Andy Reid got an A.
Let's go.
He got an A.
Down from an A plus last year. Don't know what he could have done.
Darn. Didn't dress out one day in gym class. So he got a mark.
Exactly.
Yeah, the two A-plus coaches were Sean McVay and Dan Quinn. Are they curving this test?
I know. I'm like,
what did Dan Quinn do?
Just taking an A plus. Love him. Players love him, I guess.
Yeah. Your A's were Ben Johnson, Dan Campbell, Andy Reid, Kevin O'Connell, Mike Vrabel, Aaron Glenn, Nick Sirianni, Mike Tomlin, wow. and Mike McDonald.
Nick Sirianni's shocking.
I mean, look, dude.
Shocking.
Nick Sirianni, you know who Nick Sirianni is? Nick Sirianni's that parent of your friends that was always at Bunko on Friday nights, and you always had your friends go over there in the basement because he was never home, and then when he got home or they got home at 10:30, they knew what was going on, but they went to bed, shut their door, and said, just make sure nobody drives home.
Yes.
And you know what? Dude, your mom's cool. Doesn't matter if she's, you know, a B, always yelling at her kid. Friday night, we can always go to Cole's basement, yeah. and we can just hang out. And mom will get here, but she won't be here right now. And she'll never come down here. Or every once in a while, they come down, they're a little loose. Like, come hang out with us.
Yeah, come on, man.
You know, that's to me the perception that Nick Sirianni gives to his players. Like, other people see him and be like, oh, he's a loose cannon, no leadership. But you know what? Sometimes likability is more important than leadership. Because sometimes your athletes take that role, right? Maybe that's Saquon's role. Maybe that's Devonta Smith's role. Maybe that's, I don't know, Jalen Hurts' role. I mean, we heard how Jason Kelce missed playing with Jalen Hurts when they were doing the flag football. We saw the video on Twitter. He's like, man, I missed that voice. It's like, really? He's like, oh, yeah, dude. The guy just, when you hear that voice on the field, you're like, huh? You know, you're alert.
Yeah, he commands.
But Andy Reid getting an A.
We'll take it, dude.
Which is, this is from the NFLPA, the head coach report stuff. I think it's not necessarily based on, like, the coaching style. It's more so on, like, does this guy make me feel comfortable, and am I willing to play for this guy?
Yeah, like, these grades, this could be a guy who's, you know, making a grade. He's like, yeah, well, you know what? Andy Reid asked me about my kids that one day. Or, like, he asked me how my wife was doing when she was sick. A+.
Or he remembered a minute thing that I wouldn't think that he'd remember, like, where he went to eat.
Of course.
Last time he was in Kansas City, it's like, wow, you remember that? We've been here for 4 years. Like, yeah, dude. I remember everything. And you see this with Andy, right? Like, you've seen multiple times where, like, players come back and the first thing they do is go and attack him and hug him. And it's like a father-son relationship on the football field. You're like, ah.
They jump on him. Correct. Whole thing. Yes.
Yeah.
So he's got that sort of rapport. A lot of these could even not have to do with football, right?
Correct. I mean, it could just be, like, as a human being perspective.
We like him. Yeah. That's why it's good. You know, Zach Taylor, he's got an A- on that list. That's something where it's like, okay, dude, like, I'm glad you're getting good grades on there, because first four games of the season, you got an F.
Yeah. What would you give Andy Reid's coaching this past year?
D.
Okay. Tough professor back.
I know. Give him a D+ to be nice. Yeah, I mean, we talked about it ad nauseum. We don't need to go and do it, but we were greatly unprepared.
Yeah, I think he used as much toothpaste as he could and was curling the bottom of the tube all the way to the end, and then finally found out about halfway through the morning, oh, this is empty. What am I going to do? Where you just have to use the leftover toothpaste on the bristles and try to make yourself, or just use mouthwash to get by. Well, mouthwash will give you about an hour.
Yeah, dude.
And it's not going to get in there.
No.
You need to reload the tube of toothpaste and get innovative. Change the toothbrush. Change the style. Get old habits out of here.
Yeah.
That's, to me, why.
Get that floss out.
That's why maybe Jeremiah Love forces your hand to change.
Exactly. 6-11 was a force to change, right? Had to get a new coaching staff in here. Maybe the way this draft is falling and the way everyone's talking is like, you know what? Damn it, we didn't do it last year. We didn't do it the year before. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire cannot be a reason to not do it. If that name is coming up in these conversations in that building, that will tick me off.
Always.
Doesn't matter. With the past mistakes, do not matter.
And you essentially basically took Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the second round. I mean, it was the last pick of the draft.
Like, come on.
And also, everybody was picking the fruit off that LSU tree.
Yep.
We just so happened to pick the rotten fruit. And he was good his first, like, few games. Like, you were like, perfect.
Dude,
and then it just didn't work out the way you wanted it to.
And Jeremiah Love, not comparable to Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Because what you get in layman's terms of arguments is you get, well, we took Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round, 32, and it didn't pan out. And then we took Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round, and it worked out. No, it didn't. It was okay, but it wasn't. If you had drafted, like, Jeremiah Love is going to get a second contract for the same team.
Yeah.
If it works out. Isaiah Pacheco was never going to get a second contract with the Kansas City Chiefs. But again, then you look back and you're like, well, they got Kareem in the third, and look how good Kareem Hunt was. Yes, that is a narrative of running backs. Of
course, can happen.
But again, like, this is a generational type of running back. So we'll see if that changes. So I find it interesting, man.
Me too.
I believe that it's going to be there again. We'll have Mitch Holtis on at 7:15 to talk more about it. But coming up on the other year, Mac is obsessed with the year of 2006. It just so happens that's the year this guy over here graduated. That's Mac Morey. I'm Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
That's the song, right? So you had patio conversations yesterday.
Oh, yeah,
patio
baby.
Patio sessions, right? The original podcast idea I had, yes. But that it would just be completely unhinged. Maybe that's what the people want. Could be fun, right?
It'd be incredible.
And you got on the topic. What got you to 2006?
I don't know.
Because that's when I graduated high school, brother.
I know. I'm trying to think. Well, you know, that's usually where I live, usually even a little earlier in my music taste.
Well, that's why it clicked right away with you and I.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh, you listen to that? Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Like, my music age on the Spotify recap was 40. Like, they were like, you're 40 years old, because that's kind of the... yeah, because the music I listen to, right? So, I don't know how we got on here. Maybe it was... I don't know what I was playing. I can't remember. We were talking about Warped Tours and old bands that we loved and emo, screamo music. Then we got kind of more in the pop punk range. And then we kind of just starting about 2006.
And then you started playing songs from that era.
And then
right?
We just started looking at bands.
Ooh,
he was like,
forgot
dude,
about this one.
He was like, dude, I'm telling you, 2006 was the year. I was like, really? 06 specifically? My Chemical Romance, Black Parade, Comatose with Skillet, Daughtry, It's Not Over, Red Jumpsuit Apparatus with this song. Jonas Brothers' first album, SOS, came out. Evanescence, Our Boys, Angels, and Airwaves.
Uh-huh.
Taking Back Sunday with Make Damn Sure, Escape the Fate, Seosin, Breaking Benjamin. Lots of music, lots of continuation of the punk era, I feel like. 06? 05 to 07, if you really want to have a little range there. But I was just like, damn, dude.
Yeah.
They were ripping, baby.
I want to say Blink broke up in 04, 05.
Yeah.
And then I was going into my senior year, and my sister was like, have you heard of this band, Angels and Airwaves? And I was like, no. She's like, well, it's Tom DeLonge's band. He's the front man, and it's all, like, alien music. Popped it in. Never took it out of the CD player my entire senior year. God, I miss that truck. Little Sonoma. It was a stick.
Stick. Love that. That's awesome.
Basically like an S10 truck. Blue. It was royal blue. Two cab. Little extension cab. Two little side seats that folded down. That's where you stash the stuff. And then folded the seat up. But I wouldn't be doing my homework if I didn't give you the top 10 TV shows of 2006. You talk about a category that thrived. Number one, 24, Kiefer Sutherland. Number two, Psych. Never watched Psych.
It's solid. I've watched it bits and pieces, yeah.
Number three was The Wire.
Need to watch it.
Big time. But I'm not one of those guys, like, I feel like I am, but I'm not. But, like, I don't do it with TV shows. I'm like, you need to watch this. But you should watch The Wire. Number four was The Shield. I don't remember that. I thought that was, like, a WWE thing with, like, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns. If you know, you know. Prison Break was number five. I watched one episode, and then my buddy ruined that entire show for me. Number six was The Unit. Not sure I'm ever going to click on that one. Number seven, Battlestar Galactica. Beats, Bears. Battlestar Galactica. Number eight was Kidnapped. Never saw it. Number nine, Daybreak. Have no idea. And number 10 was Thief. Didn't watch any of those shows, let alone I was an 18-year-old in high school. So I was probably just watching like Survivor with my family and sports, if any. But I didn't, none of those.
So kind of like now?
Yeah, pretty much. Except you can add Wheel of Fortune in there.
Yeah, there you go.
Top music of 2006, the top 10 songs. Number one is You're Beautiful by James Blunt. One Hit Wonder, Jimmy. Temperature by Sean Paul.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one.
Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield. Number four was Be Without You, which is Mary J. Blige. Could be soon Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member. Number five, Bad Day by Daniel Pounder.
Oh, Daniel Powder?
Pounder, yeah.
Because you had a bad day. Horrible wow, that was song. 06. Oh, great song.
Number
great
six song. Was Promiscuous by Nelly Furtado featuring Timberland. Promiscuous, promiscuous. Bo, whatever it is. Over My Head, The Fray. Horrible song.
Oh, horrible wow, band. The Fray in 06, too.
The Fray was so bad that it created Bleachers. Did you know that?
Really?
Jack Antonoff was the guitarist. Writing all the music, writing all the songs, felt underappreciated. And on the end of their first tour, in the back of the bus, he started just writing Bleacher songs. So he wrote Roller Coaster, I Want to Get Better. He wrote both of those songs. And like the next week, he let the band know that he was gone and Bleachers began. And he never looked back and The Fray died.
Damn, I did not know any of that.
Yeah, The Fray's a horrible band. Number eight was Crazy by Gnarls Barkley. Number nine was Grills. Whole Top Diamond in the Bottom Rose Gold. Call me George Foreman because I'm selling everybody grills. Yeah, dude. Nelly, Paul Wall, Ollie and Gip. And the number nine was Riding by Chamillionaire.
Okay.
Riding Dirty. Top 10 movies of 2006.
Ooh, probably bangers.
I think I've seen them all. Number one was Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. Nice. This is most grossed money they made.
Okay.
Pirates of the Caribbean, gross total, $423 million. Yeah.
Absurd.
Why is the rum gone? Number two was Cars. Here's so the here's the drop off of grossed money, right? So Pirates of the Caribbean was the blockbuster that summer. It came out July 7th, made $423 million. Cars was number two, made $244 million.
Crazy.
$200 million drop off, basically. Number three was X-Men, The Last Stand. Number four was The Da Vinci Code. Number five was Superman Returns. Number six was Ice Age, The Meltdown. Number seven was Happy Feet. Number eight was Over the Hedge. Number nine was Casino Royale. And number 10 was Talladega Nights, The Ricky Bobby Story.
Damn.
So a lot of cartoon movies, man.
Need to see Da Vinci Code.
Kind of funny. Ice Age, Meltdown. You got to love Sid the Sloth.
Gotta love it, dude.
And then Cars.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, dude. Top two grossing movies that year, Disney. How you doing?
How you doing?
Yeah, Disney makes about a cool $700 million.
This is just an overall good media year.
You want the next 10? Number 11 was Click. Number 12 was Mission Impossible 3.
Jeez, they were
number 13 was Borat. Number 14 was The Devil Wears Nada. I'm sorry, Prada. And number 15 was The Departed. Number 16, The Breakup. Number 17, Night at the Museum. Number 18, The Pursuit of Happiness. Number 19, Scary Movie 4. And number 20, Failure to Launch. And maybe the most underrated movie on this list, Inside Man at 21.
Pursuit of Happiness being that low is kind of shocking a little bit.
Yeah, it was a good Will Smith movie.
Yeah, it was a great Will Smith movie. I'm just surprised it didn't gross better.
Yeah. Somebody says The Shield is better than Chicago PD.
Oh, good to know.
Never seen both of them.
Yep, never, yeah.
Is it better than Chicago MD, Chicago
more
FD?
More Bloods guy myself. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, they're making a new Devil Wears Prada coming out.
Yeah. The second one with, is it Glenn Close who plays her?
Anne Hathaway and Meryl Streep?
Meryl Streep is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Meryl Streep, yeah.
Wood.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hello, America.
I think there is a movie called The Devil Wears Nada, though. But I think it's a different time.
I think it's, yeah, I think that's... Yeah.
Somebody says shout out to the Roman Holiday Blue Springs metal band.
Let's
those
go
days.
Dude, go. I bet they ripped.
We had a couple buddies that did the screamo bands.
Hell yeah, dude.
It's kind of funny.
I was a Warped Tour.
It's like, where am I at, dude?
It's my favorite genre of music for about 10 years. I loved it.
That's so funny. Oh, man.
And 06 was a great year for it, and a great year for all music, obviously. We just named a bunch of bangers. But, dude, these songs, those first bands that I mentioned, all those bands don't sing like that anymore, write lyrics like that. Like, I don't know. That stuff just had more meaning, it felt like, than a lot of the music today. Think about me every night. Ooh.
Oh, okay. Somebody says, is this 98.1? Do better.
Get bent.
Seen that text too many
better.
Times. Do better.
Do better.
Come on. If you're going to troll and you're going to hate, give me better than that. Give me something better than that. Your guys' 2006 pop culture knowledge needs some work. Throw one at me. Give me a trivia question. I'll nail it.
I was going to say, I feel like Dusty's probably pretty good. I was 8, so I'm more...
I was 18.
Yeah. So I feel like you were entrenched.
Sorry, I don't watch Thief. What is it? What was the other one? The show? The Unit? You dive it in the Unit? Yeah.
Start listening to Mumford & Sons then. Going to see them live this year. Can't wait.
That'll be a good band.
Can't wait.
Yeah, somebody says Inside Man is outstanding. It's a great movie. You only need to see it once because you get the hook. And then you're like, ah, great movie. Clive Owen and Jamie Foxx.
Okay.
Great movie.
Jamie Foxx. So
yeah, dude.
Good.
This is like prime Jamie, too. This is like when Ray came out, you know, he really gotten his notoriety from the movie. Have you seen Ali?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, great role he plays.
One of my favorites for my
Sells
dad.
The bell.
My dad loves it.
Plays the hammer trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, then it just started happening for Jamie. I mean, he had done a lot of stuff before that, right? Like, his stand-up routine is awesome.
He's a Swiss. I mean, he can do everything. He can sing, he can act, he can dance, do it all.
Be a comedian.
He's hilarious.
Play drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, Twist, Netflix, I've thought about you because I finished it the other night. I watched the last episode 2 weeks ago, had 25 minutes of the last episode left. Totally forgot about it until yesterday. Watched the last 25 minutes. His or hers or his and hers, you should watch it. Speaking of hooks and twists, I don't think you'll know what's coming. You should watch it. Netflix.
Okay.
Give it a go.
You seen Saw, the first one?
I have not.
Watch that. You talk about a twist at the end.
Okay. Is it really, is it super like?
No.
Okay. I like scary, but Saw can get a little like.
The first one's great. Then they start kind of like jumping the shark with more and more like innovative ways to like gruesome you out.
Yeah, exactly.
The first one, like, obviously there's a guy that, I'll ruin this for you, there's a guy that saws his foot off.
Okay.
Okay, wow. But that doesn't do anything to the movie. Somebody says, do you guys like Alabama Shakes? Of course.
Saw him live once, yeah, in high school.
Yeah, big old Brittany at the lead.
Absolutely.
Said, come on, Brittany.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she has a good solo album as well, if you like that.
Ooh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Did not know that.
Arm length. Does it matter? Why are measurements a key? Well, we dive into it next because Jay Binkley was calling this guy T-Rex all day yesterday here on 96.5 The Fan. That's Matt MacMorray. I'm Dusty Likens, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.